All right. Open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. And we're going to continue our study on the seven steps of the highest kind of faith. And the reality of the new creation is the last one we studied. And there's something you need to know. There's a lot of folks that don't know the difference between repentance and doing penance. Yet if you had accused them of following the teachings of certain other religions, they would hotly deny it. But that is exactly what they're doing. They're trying to do penance for their past life. You have to understand, when you get born again, you get absolutely forgiven. Everything got washed away. There is absolutely no reason for you to continue feeling bad about mistakes you made in your past. So that's one of the reasons they tell us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We have to understand this. To value the blood of Jesus, we have to let our past go and stop feeling bad about it. There's nothing you can do to fix it. If there is something you can do to fix it, fix it. But don't torment yourself by thinking that you have to continually pay for your past sins. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 says, so here's what you got to understand. So when a man repents, God then doesn't have any knowledge that that man ever did anything wrong. Did you get that? When you change your mind about God, ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and put your faith in Him, you're washed. And here's good news for you right here. It says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Not for your sake. For His sake. And He will not remember your sins. If God doesn't remember, then why would you? See, now sometimes we make mistakes. It'd be very important for you to learn from those mistakes and not repeat them. But don't go around tormenting yourself over past mistakes. Usually it boils down to one thing that somebody thinks they've done that is so horrible that they can't forgive themselves for it. They don't think God can forgive him for it. A lot of people won't forgive people for their past mistakes. But that's on them. But you have to understand that God does. But it usually boils down to one thing that holds somebody back from their best in God, from their best life. One of the most anointed people I ever ran into, this guy could pray like nothing you ever seen. And then he'd disappear for months on end. And then he'd show back up and he'd be back on fire and he'd be back on it. And then he'd disappear. And his wife came and asked me, said, what can we do for him? And I said, there's got to be just this one thing that he just won't forgive himself for. And he doesn't think God will forgive him. And she looked at me like I slapped her with a wet fish. Because she said, you're exactly right. His little brother drowned and he's always held himself responsible for that. And that's one thing that's always held him back. He could be good for a while and then he would just go off the deep end. But you have to understand that the blood of Jesus is far stronger than anything you ever done. Let's look at the next thing, is the reality of our fellowship with the Father. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. The very heart reason for redemption is fellowship. That's what God wanted in the first place. When he created Adam, he wanted fellowship. He had a heart of Father's heart, and he wanted Adam to be his son, and he wanted to fellowship with him. And evidently, he walked with Adam in the cool of the morning in the garden. They had a strong fellowship, and then that fellowship got broken by sin. And Adam could not come back in the presence of God. He got kicked out of the garden, not because God was angry with him, but the tree of life was in that garden, and God could not let Adam eat of the tree of life and live forever in that sin-filled state. So he had to remove him from the garden. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says that God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Notice that we were called unto the fellowship of his Son. God wants us to come into his presence. Now, for a long time, people were cut off. And then they had prophets that would go before God and hear for them. And then they would go tell the people what God said. They had priests that would go before God and hear God, and then they would go and tell the people what God said. That's Old Testament. We have a lot of New Testament Christians that are trying to have a fellowship with God the Old Testament way. You know, they'll want to go seek out a prophet and ask that prophet if God has a word for them. Some of them tried that with Oop Schroeder. And he'd say, "No, I don't have anything to say to you. You got a Bible, you got the Holy Ghost, you go read that Bible and you listen to God for yourself." Now, if he did have a message for somebody, he would make it plain. But God's best for you is to have this one-on-one fellowship with each other where he can talk to you and you can hear him. There's too many people wanting their pastor to tell them what the next move for their life should be. You know, sometimes it'll actually get to the point where there's a demonic influence there. I call it pastor worship. But the pastor will actually move into this circle. See, there should be a circle. And Jesus should be right in the middle. And the fivefold ministry should be on the outer edges of this circle with the people, pointing them to Jesus. Sometimes people will slip into that circle and try to get people to looking to them. And a lot of times people will fall for that. And it gets so carried away to the point where people will actually go ask the pastor, say, "Is this the right woman for me to marry? Is this the right job for me to have? Am I supposed to go to the mission field?" And the pastor will say, "Yeah, no, yeah, no. It's none of his business." It is none of his business. Did you know that? The pastor is supposed to say, well, you need to go ask God and get quiet by yourself and spend some time in prayer and let him counsel you as to whether or not this is the right person for you. Ask him whether or not this is the right job for you. People ask me a lot of times, they come and tell me they're getting ready to move to another town. They got a good job offer. They got a good school figured out for their kids. They say, what do you think? I say, well, where are you going to go to church at? Oh, I haven't figured that out. You might ask God where he wants you to go to church. Ask him where he wants you to be located geographically. Things will probably go better for your job. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse 4. It says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. See, that's where your joy is going to come. See, people are running around looking for happiness. Happiness is a fleeting thing. You know, you can be happy one minute, you know, yay, you know, I got that windfall. And then, oh no, I got a huge bill. And then, yay, it rained. Oh no, the wind's blowing. Yay, something good happened here. Whoa, no, something bad happened here. That you're up and down. That's happiness. Happiness comes and goes. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it only comes through fellowship with Jesus. See, you can have joy in tribulation. You can have joy in real serious challenges. You can have joy when everything seems to be going wrong. You can still have joy because that's the fruit of the Spirit. And in fact, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord is the strength of our life. That joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That's something that comes from abiding in the vine, fellowshipping with him. Look at verse 7. It tells us that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that's a reality, that's a New Testament reality that people have to get sunk in their hearts. You know, there's a lot of people that will not darken the doorway of a church because they made a mistake. And maybe some church members hounded them over it. You know, church people have a tendency to throw rocks. But here's the thing. They need to understand that they've been washed by the blood of Jesus. They need to understand that the minute they got born again, they became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that did not change when they made their big mistake. They need to get back in the light and let Jesus take care of that problem for them. Amen? Unfortunately, that's not the way it goes, because they'll accept the condemnation from Satan as if it's coming from God, and then they'll stay away. They'll let that break their fellowship from the rest of the church. And truly, they'll let that break their fellowship with God. And it should never be. When God is the only one that can fix it, they should go to God and ask him for help in that. Amen. So the highest honor that the Father has conferred upon us is that of having joint fellowship with him, with his Son, and with the Holy Spirit in carrying out his dream for the redemption of the human race. Relationship without fellowship is an insipid thing. It's like marriage without love or companionship. Fellowship is the very mother of faith. It is the parent of joy. It is the source of victory. And He has called us individually into fellowship with His Son. That's where our strength comes from. You know, we can run around positive thinking. We can run around doing a lot of good works. But our strength is going to come only from Him. Remember, He is the vine and we are the branches. As long as we stay attached to Him, we have His life flowing through us. That's how our fruit is developed. We can't grow fruit in and of ourselves. We just can't. You know, people like to think they can do these things. But you don't have the ability to do it. But if you let Him do it through you, it'll be beautiful fruit. So if we have fellowship with Him, and we are walking in the light as He is in the light, then prayer becomes one of the sweetest and greatest privileges to which we have fallen heir in Christ. Prayer will not be a chore anymore. Prayer will be easy. It won't be a struggle. It won't be a challenge. When you have fellowship with Him, when you're truly having fellowship with Jesus, you're taking His words into you through reading the Bible. When you do that, that gives you fuel to pray. And then because of that, life in Him, His words, it gives you the ability to pray. It gives you something to pray. Then you can pray His word back to Him and watch things happen. It's pretty fun. And everybody has a process that they have to go through to learn these things. Some people pick it up faster than others. It took me a while. It took me quite a while to understand that He was actually inside there. I mean, I knew I got born again, but to really have the realization that He was in there, that's when my prayers got a lot quieter and a lot more confident. I used to pray like I was trying to reach 1,000 miles away. But He's right there. And he can hear you just fine. You don't have to holler. And then when you get that boldness and that confidence, then you figure out you don't even have to scream at the devil. You don't even have to raise your voice. You can just talk to Him with the authority in the name of Jesus and tell Him to get. And He has to get. If it makes you feel better, you can shout at the devil if you want. It's okay. The Bible says to be angry and sin not, so it'd be better to shout at the devil than to shout at a person. So go on out in the country and shout at the devil for a while. Remember, our enemy is not flesh and blood. The next step is to understand the reality of the authority of Jesus' name. Look at John chapter 14, verse 13. This, John 14, verse 13, these verses right here got in my head and I couldn't let them go. There was an itch on me that kept saying that if Peter could do something, I should be able to do it. If Paul could do it, I should be able to do it. And I thought about that a lot, and I'd ask people around, and they say, well, they were apostles. Well, they were this. He said, well, that man that did that, he was a very anointed pastor. He was a very anointed evangelist. And the fence was there, but I couldn't accept that limitation. I ran into these verses right here, and it kind of sunk, it finally got into me. This is Jesus talking. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So now, I was sitting there saying to myself that Jesus said, whatsoever things he did, I could do. And now he's saying, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So now, you figure it out that when you ask something in Jesus' name, it's not you that's really doing it. That takes your faith out of the way. That puts your faith in Him as to being able to do something. That takes the pressure off of you. You don't have to be a Holy Ghost hot rod no more. All you have to do is just believe in the name of Jesus and speak it forth and watch Him do what He said He would do. See how much that takes us out of the game. All we got to do is pray. Use the name of Jesus. And then He does it. And then God gets the glory. But here's a really cool thing. When God does something significant, you got to witness it firsthand. You got to be a part of it. It still needs somebody to go lay hands on the sick. It still needs somebody to go pray and cast out devils. It still needs somebody to preach the gospel to help people get born again. So whenever God does something amazing like that, you got to be a part of it. That's really cool. God has given us the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus to meet our every need, spiritual, physical, or financial. He has given us power over satanic forces. He has said that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, He would give it to you. We have authority to use His name. The fact that many do not is not a matter of lack of faith, but a matter of not knowing our legal rights in Christ. It is a matter of taking the place of a son or daughter and taking advantage of our rights as a child of God. It is a matter of knowing what belongs to us and doing what the Word says. This is why it's so very important to understand our position in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Remember, in and of ourselves, we ain't much. In and of ourselves, we can't do much. But the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. It's always got to be in Jesus. It's always got to be about Him. All we really got to do is abide in Him. I mean, we're going to take His Word into us. You know, you can do it a lot of different ways. You can read the Bible. That's taking His Word in. You can listen to anointed preaching sermons. That's taking His Word in. There's daily grace messages you can get from Joseph Prince. You can read those daily grace messages. That's getting His Word in. But it's always going to be in an atmosphere of faith, if faith is not being preached, if the word of grace is not being preached, it's going to be a challenge for you to operate in the things of faith. I've talked to a lot of people, and they'd be having a challenge in some area. And say, are you listening to the word of faith being preached? Say, oh yeah, I go to church every Sunday. I said, where do you go to church at? And they'd tell me, and I said, do they really preach the word of faith there? They said, well, they don't say the things that you say. And I said, is it the word of faith? They said, well, that's where all my friends go. I said, is that a healthy reason to go to church? Some of them say, that's where my grandpa went to church. That's good. But if the word of faith is not being preached, it's not going to do you much good. God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's look at the last one here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The reality of our righteousness in Christ. Verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. This is not saying that you can't go talk to them, that you can't do business with them. It's not saying that you can't be around them. They're not going to get born again without somebody being around them. But here's the thing. When people come into strong unions together with people that are not in faith, it tends to weaken their faith. Some of the biggest challenges I've seen people have is because they were tied too closely to somebody that was not in faith. They're unequally yoked. And that's a strong challenge. You know, I ran into a guy one time and I was trying to witness to him, and he was just mentally gone as far as God was concerned. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And finally, he started telling me his story, and I'm thinking, okay, I know what church you came out of. And we were going down the road, and he said, my wife is the devil. I thought, what in the world are you talking about? And he said, there's the devil's church right there, and there's a great big Pentecostal church. Well, this was a Southern Baptist guy that ended up marrying a Pentecostal girl. What a clash. Can you not see any difficulties in a union like that? They didn't agree with each other one way or another on that. On their spiritual life, do you see why it's so important to find somebody that you can agree with spiritually? Now, that's not to say you're not going to change, because you are going to change. Hopefully you go together. But it's important to not be unequally yoked with the world. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus." We have to understand that what Jesus did was so right that it fixed everything that we did wrong. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means that whatever was wrong between you and God was washed away the minute you got born again. Now you're in right standing with God. That's a good place to be. And it was not because of anything you did other than you said, "Jesus, be my Lord." But you got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the shed blood of Jesus. And you got justified freely by His grace. In order to be justified, you have to first be judged. And you were judged. You were judged. All your sins were judged on that cross. When you said, "Jesus, save me." You got set free from all that judgment. Praise God. Well, thank you, Father, for your word and your grace and your shed blood. We thank you, Father, that Jesus took care of everything that we did wrong. And we thank you that as our high priest, He's showing us how to get it right. Even when we make mistakes, it's already taken care of. Our job is to believe on the name of Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.